Matthew chapter 19 today, and we're going to have a little bit of a lengthy reading today. Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 13. Matthew 19 and starting in verse 13. It says, "Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto them, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto them, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. God, we want to give you glory and thanks for another good day you've blessed us with. And God, I pray that today, Lord, the Spirit of God would soften hearts and open eyes and minds to hear the Word of God. And Lord, to see that there are areas in our life that we lack in. And God, I'm thankful that, Lord, the Scripture said, if any man lack, to let him ask you who gives liberally. And God, that you'd give to us what we're lacking today. God, I pray you would meet with us today. I pray that you would open the eyes of the lost, that they'd see their need of you. And God, that you'd get the glory from all that's done today. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We see three things in this passage, and they kind of flow together. The first thing we see, the first little encounter, is we see that these little children are brought to Jesus. And they are asking and wanting Jesus to lay hands on them. And the disciples rebuke them. They want to shoo the little children away. They want to say Jesus has more important things to do than to be laying hands on little children and little kids. But Jesus says, allow the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And so we see the first thing we see in our passage is the receiving heart or the receiving nature of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that when we want to come to Jesus, or when anybody wants to come to Him, there is always going to be a conflict, or there is going to be a friction that wants to keep us from coming. I go back all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned and fell and were hiding in the garden. And God came seeking them in the garden to find them hiding. There was a friction there that they didn't maybe want to come to Christ. And the devil's desire today is that none of us come to Jesus. No one come to Him. Shoo the little children away. Keep everybody else that we can away. And that conflict is going on in our lives. You know what happens? What things keep us from coming to Christ? In Adam and Eve's case, and I think that's the case with a lot of folks, it's just guilt and shame. Have you ever bowed your head to pray and just didn't feel worthy enough to even call His name? To say, here I am again, God, pathetic and sorry as I am, done messed up again, done failed you again, and the devil wants to whisper in our ear and say, he doesn't want to hear from you today. He doesn't want you to come. You're not worthy to pray. You're not worthy to come to Christ. You're a sinner and you've done things that are shameful. That's the conflict that we find coming to Jesus. You know, I think another thing, as we try to come to Christ, others will get involved. Others will interfere. Just in this situation, these are the disciples of Christ. And here comes little kids and people are bringing them for Jesus to lay his hands on them, and they wanted to shoo them away. Said, we need to get away from Jesus. And there will be others who will keep us from coming to Him. There will be people who will pull us away. There will be people who will pull us to sinful things. There will be people who will judge us. I want you to know that following Christ, we're going to see as this story unfolds today, following Christ is no easy task. I think as we look at just like what Jesus said here, or what the disciples said when they said, who then can be saved? And God says, with God all things are possible. That's how we will be. But man, there'll be people that get in your way. And then obviously we know that when we come to Christ, one thing that keeps us from coming to Him today is complacency. I think we don't pray to Him as much. We don't get in His Word enough. We don't have a sense of urgency because, to be honest today, we've got a lot of prosperity. And we've got a lot of good things. But we're going to see today that we have a great need. And so I want you to know that there's going to be conflict. But here's the good news. Look at what it said in verse 14. But Jesus said, suffer or allow little children and forbid them not to come unto me. The good news is today, with all the guilt and shame, with all the other people that will interfere, with all the things to draw our attention away from Christ, from our own natural sinfulness and complacency, Jesus Christ still today says, come unto me. And Jesus Christ is calling out to each and every one of us today and saying, come unto me. There are those that are here today that might be lost and without Christ, and He says, come unto me. There might be those here today that are backslidden and have wandered away from the faith, and He says, come unto me. There might be those today that have problems that they can't answer, and Jesus says, come unto me. He doesn't say, I don't want to have you. He says, everybody that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He wants you to come. And if you think anything else today, you are believing a lie. He wants us to come. He wants us to repent. He wants us to seek that help. And that today is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knows that we're sinners. He knows that we're flesh. He knows that we're carnal. And He says, that's why you need me. That's why you need me. And He compels us to come. And so we ought to take heart today and take encouragement today from the fact that we have a God in heaven that calls us and He wants us to come, no matter who you are or what you've done or where you've been or what you face. He says, come unto me. And I believe in our passage, what happens is there's a rich young ruler who sees Jesus tell them to allow the little children to come unto me. And he sees all that Jesus is doing and has done. All the miracles, all the fame, all the things that are happening. And he comes to Christ And I believe he comes a little nonchalant and says, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, and he's wanting to just kind of put this out there for the people listening, and he puts it out there for us today. There's only one good book, and that's God, and why do you call me good? And I think he's saying, I am good and I am God. It's just so you know that. And he said, but then he says this, and I think this is interesting, and I think when we deal with evangelism or bringing people to Jesus, it's good to look at what Jesus did. He comes and said, what do I got to do? And Jesus says, go keep the commandments. And it's kind of like a brush off. Go keep the commandments. I want you to know that there are times I've got to do this in my own life. In evangelism, is I've got to be able to determine what's going on. Sometimes I got to tell. Sometimes I know that maybe somebody has to do a little more seeking. You know, we're going to have baptism today. You know, we're thankful Nick got saved, and we're going to baptize him today. Amen. And every time we have baptism, there'll be a little kid or two come to me and say, I want to be baptized. Isn't that good? That's a good thing to want. But I got to be able to determine if it's God dealing with someone's heart or it's somebody that just wants to get baptized. And so a lot of times I'll do like this. I'll say, hey, well, you got to be saved. And I kind of send them on. Because you know what I want them to do? I want them to go away and begin to seek God. And begin to see if God seeks them. And I want God to deal with their heart. I'm not into getting everybody to repeat a prayer. I could get everybody saved in here today if that was the case. I'd just tell everybody, raise their hand, repeat after me, and now everybody's saved. And we could sign and stamp cards, and I could put it on Twitter that we had everybody saved today. But the reality is I want people to really get born again. And I'm not the judge of that, and I can't tell. And so you just have to have some discernment. I think Jesus said, hey, nonchalant, rich young ruler, and Jesus, who knows the hearts of men and women, he said, go keep the commandments, guy. And then the rich young ruler says, which ones? And Jesus said, well, don't commit murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, those type commandments. And the rich young ruler responds with one of the most foolish comments that we've ever heard in the scriptures. In verse 20, it says, the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. He says, I've already kept all those. I'm not a murderer. I've never stole. I've always honored my mother and father. I've always loved my neighbor as myself in every circumstance. I've been perfect since I was born until now. And he asked this, what lack I yet? What do I lack? And today, I think that's the question that we have to ask ourselves today. What do I lack? What do I lack? Because you know what I know about all of you here? Man, if we're talking about good people, the way we view good, I mean, we got some good people here. People that help me, people that are doing good, and all, you know. But I also know this about every single person here. You know what I know about every one of y'all? Y'all lack. You know what I know about Brother Derek? He lacks. I'm not going to sit here with the rich young ruler and say, I've done it all perfectly since I was born. What more do you want me to do? How many of y'all would like for Jesus to be here today? Stand here. We'll stand him right here where I stand. And everybody can come down and get in line and say, and go to Jesus and say, now, what do I lack? And he'd say, oh, well, since you asked, let's get the list out of what you lack. But it's a good thing to ask, amen? What do I lack? Where do I lack? And Jesus said to the rich young ruler, because he knew his heart, he said, okay, guy. since you've went down the road and you want to know, he said, go sell all that you got. Give it away. Don't keep any of it. Give all the money you get from my selling everything. Give it all away. And you'll get treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. The Bible says the young man went away very sorrowful because he had great possessions. Because he had great possessions. You know what I think's interesting about that command that Jesus gave him? And what Jesus will do to all of us. Jesus knows how to get at the heart of the matter. He knows how to cut through all the red tape and all the fluff and say, well, we'll get down to where the rubber meets the road with you because I know that you're very materialistic. I know that you love all the things that you have. I know that you worship your possessions. And he said, sell it all. Give it all away. But now, don't pass over this. He said, and you'll have treasure in heaven. So it wasn't like, we're going to see here in a little while, it ain't like Jesus asking a sacrifice. He said, you're going to be blessed. He said, come and follow me. Now, again, the question for us today is, where do we lack? Some of us in here today lack that because we've never been born again. We can't even get down the road with Jesus because you've never started with him. Somebody, Manly Beasley, the great evangelist and man of faith, one time said, he said, some of y'all don't need to worry about getting out on a limb with God. You've never climbed up the tree with him. And that's the case with some today. You say, where do I lack? You lack, you've never been born again. You say, what does it mean to be born again? It means this, that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died for your sins. That's why he came. He came because you couldn't earn your own way. You're not perfect. You're tainted. You're already a sinner. And by the way, if you are not perfect here today, you can't ever be perfect. Right? Like you can't be flawed and then get unflawed. Can't happen. Just like this guy here that said, man, I've done all these things. In another place in Scripture, Jesus says this. He says, one thing you lack. You know, if I was to take a bottle of water today and I just took a drop of rat poison and I'd put it in that bottle of water and I said, here, why don't y'all drink? Here, come drink this. No one here would want to. And I could say, well, the bottle is good. It's just got one drop of poison in it. Yeah, but I don't want to drink it. That's who we are. Okay? The Bible says if you're guilty of one point, you've offended in all. Or if you've offended in one point, you're guilty of all. We're not perfect. And Jesus came and he died for your sins. And what being born again means is this, that you go to Christ and say, I agree that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross and the third day you rose again, that you are the Savior of the world. You are who you said you are. I am who you said I am. And I repent of my sins and I pledge my allegiance to you. And I trust you to save me. That's how you get saved. And some of you lack because you've never done that. Some of you are frustrated living the Christian life because you're trying to live the Christian life without Christ. Can't do it. Can't do it. It's impossible to live the Christ life without the indwelling of the Holy Ghost and the power that we've come to find from Him. Some of us lack faithfulness in here today. You know who you are. You struggle to read your Bible. You struggle to pray. You struggle to show up to God's house. You just lack. Some of us lack service. We come and receive, but we never do. We just get from God and we never give. Some of us lack faith. We don't trust God. We trust that God created all things, but we don't trust Him with our problems. We can't trust Him with even the smallest of things. Some of us in here today lack joy. I really don't understand being saved, having all my sins forgiven, past, present, and future, having my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life that I have eternal life. By the way, God has blessed me today, I can see and I can hear and I can taste and I can smell and I can think and I can touch and I can walk. And I'm going to go home in a little while. I'm going to eat something. We can cut the air down and it ain't going to be hot. And yet, I don't understand still being miserable. I don't understand what you're miserable about. I don't understand what's the problem. Some of us lack joy. And we need God to help us. And I understand sometimes we got tough days, and but God's still good. He is immensely good to us. If all He gave us was the spiritual things and He gave us nothing physically, let me tell you what, I'm still going to sign up for it. If he said, Derek, today, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to forgive you of all your sins. When you die, you'll spend eternity with me in heaven, walking on streets of gold. But in this life, you're going to be poor and destitute, and you're going to struggle. Sign me up, because I'm going to heaven one day. I think I'll play the long game. You can play the short game. I'll take it forever, okay? And so some of us lack joy. Some of us lack peace. You fill in the blank today. What do you lack? Some of us lack love and compassion for others. We lack. What part of your life have you not given over to God? What sin can you not seem to lay down? We lack, we lack, we lack. You lack and I lack. Now, let me tell you the good thing the Bible says. Over there in the New Testament, it tells us this: if any man lack, it's talking about wisdom. Maybe some of us lack that today. It said, let him ask God, who gives liberally. And you know what I know about God today? If you lack any of these things, and we come to Him and say, God, I lack love and compassion. I need your help. I want more. You know what I think God will do? I think He'll give you more. Say, God, I lack peace. I worry about everything. And I want more peace. I think He'll give you more. And I ain't saying in the blink of an eye or a snap of a finger, you'll be full of peace. But I think if you continue to seek it and continue to ask for it, God will give it to you more and more along this life's way. You see, He said this about us. Y'all all know your children. You love your children. And I know that people love their children because sometimes their children are bad, right? We say this. This is what we say about kids that behave bad now. We say they're something else, ain't they? You know? That means that they are acting up or they're bad. And there are people whose kids are bad. There are kids who are not that smart. There are kids that are not that athletic. But you think they're the greatest thing in all the world, right? I mean, they're perfect in your eyes. And here's what God said. He said, if you who are evil know how to love and give gifts to your children, how much more will I give to my children? And so God wants to give to us today. He wants to give where we lack. He doesn't want us to miss out on it. Now, hey, He might not give you an ice cream cone today, but He wants to give you more peace. He might not give you the new car you want. That's not how He operates. But I don't care what they tell you on TV, okay? Look, if you don't send your money. Just send your money to me. Don't send it to them, okay? You know, hey, that's what they say. Hey, send me money and I'll give you a new car. Don't send it to them. But let me tell you what He will give you. He'll give you more joy. He'll give you more faith. He'll give you more wisdom. He'll give you more spiritual blessings if you want them. If you want them. And man, after the rich man went away, Jesus said this. He said, hardly will a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. He said, and it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And can I tell you why that is? And can I tell you why today it's a struggle? You know, we've got missionaries all around the world, and we're connected to a lot of folks. And you know what I hear? I hear over in the Philippines they're having revival. People are getting saved. I hear the underground church in China is booming. And you don't hear a lot about that in America. Do you know why? Because it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Here we are today. You know who we are? You know who we're, you know what this congregation is made up of today? What we would call in America common ordinary folks. And you know what common ordinary folks in America got? Multiple vehicles, food in the refrigerator, money in our pocket, more clothes than we can wear. We give them away. Closets overflowing with stuff. Our kids got toy boxes, multiple toy boxes. And whenever you say, hey, you lack, people say, no, I don't lack. I don't lack anything. Hey, you got a need. What? What is my need? I have more than I could ever have, more than I could ever want. And we're common folks. We're just regular people. And let me tell you about us regular people today. We're rich. We're rich. A couple of weeks ago, I got on an airplane and flew to Dallas, Texas. You know who used to fly? You know who used to fly 100 years ago? Rich people. Now I fly. I got a telephone here. I can call China in a little while if I want to. You know who used to could only do that? Rich people. This is a computer. I got a camera and a video camera right here. Isn't that dangerous and scary? You know who used to have cameras and video cameras? Rich people. I got a central air and heat in my house. You know who used to have that? Rich people. I got indoor plumbing. You know who used to have that? Rich people. Here's my point. We're rich.
Amen.
We're rich. And it's hard for rich people to come to Christ. And I think we today would be like the disciples and say, then who can be saved? We're all rich. And Jesus would tell us, with man it's impossible. It looks like an impossible deal. But with God, all things are possible. The richest person in the world can have their heart broken and turn to God and be saved. And just that same thing can happen to me and you today. And so we see that. And then the last thing we see in our passage is this. Peter, of course, and only the way Peter can. He says what others think, but he only will say. And he said, we've forsaken all and followed thee, basically what we're going to get out of the deal. And Jesus tells him, you know, that in the millennial reign, when I'm reigning on my throne, y'all will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. But then he says something about us today. And so, lest we think it's all sacrifice and all hard and suffering and all these things. Look at what Jesus told us we get in verse 29. He said, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, again, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. He said, well, if you sacrifice a little, he said, you're going to get 100-fold one day. I just told you how rich we are. You know what Jesus said? He said, you're going to get 100 times. You have 100 times what you got now. One day we'll live in a mansion prepared for us by God himself. Amen. One day we'll walk on streets of gold. One day I'll never hurt again. I'll never suffer. I'll never shed a tear. I'll never have another cold. I'll never get sick. And I'll worship God forever. That's what's coming for me. And that's what's coming for all that are in Christ that love Him and serve Him and have followed Him. No more shame, no more guilt, no more sorrow. All peace and prosperity in Jesus Christ in His name. Because guess what? He loves to bless those that are His children. That is what lies ahead for us. And so we can lay down the earthly things here. We can lay down the temporal possessions and riches that will one day burn up, or thieves will steal, or rust and moss will destroy. And we can say, I'll invest in heaven, because that's where it matters. And so the question today would be this for you. Where do I lack? What areas in my life am I lacking? Ask God that. Ask yourself that. And ask God to give you where you lack. And He promised He'll give liberally. Why don't you stand with us today as we have a time of invitation, a time for you to be able to pray and do business with God and